Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Let's all take a breath in together, just breathing in, releasing, settling in your chair. Letting go of anything that might have come up to this moment, prior to this moment. Letting go of anything you think that might happen after this moment, and simply be. Be here now. I invite you, as you're taking in another breath and releasing, just to begin to feel exactly where you are, in your right place. If you're watching online, if you're in the room, if you're watching later online, know that you are in the right place. And I ask you to take another breath in and release and feel that rightness right through your body. Your breath is the breath of the One, the Divine, the Spirit. It is God itself that is breathing through you. Your breath is of the divine inspiration that guides you today. That breath is hope. That breath is vision for this ceiling, for this season. Hope fulfilled through you. And the vision of the season, which is peace and goodwill for all. I invite you with this next breath to invite that divine vision in, to touch you right where you are, right in your heart, right in your very breath. That breath which is everywhere in you, around you, and through you. And as we take this journey of the vision of the Christmas season this day, we do that journey through our breath, through the candlelight, through the vision of peace and goodwill. And we know it is good. And so it is. So it's now my pleasure to introduce both Reverend Colleen, and then I'll do a little bit of the lead-in to her talk with a Christmas story from Luke. So most of you know all about Reverend Colleen, I am sure. But for those of you who are new or who are visiting, let me tell you a few things about her story. She is the minister emeritus of this church. And so, yes, and which is a title, a role to be honored. So this story will tell you a little bit of what led up to that. So prior to being a minister, Colleen was a school teacher and later a general building contractor and designer in California. Very different. But in 1983, she started attending the Center for Spiritual Living in Fresno, California. And it was there that she met her lovely and wonderful future husband, Bob McElrath. Now, they were both called to ministry, and they went through ministerial training together. Upon graduation, they decided that they wanted to start a center in the Pacific Northwest. And as Colleen tells me, three unsolicited and unrelated people came up to them and told them they should think about Bellingham, that Bellingham was a great place. And they did. So in 1988, Bob and Colleen arrived in Bellingham, and they had their first Sunday service in March of that year. And they did this for 10 years. And in that time, this campus here was purchased, and these buildings were built with Colleen's design assistance. But at that point, 10 years later, they decided it was time to move, and they moved to Seattle. And Colleen began to work at the Center for Spiritual Living in Seattle. And she was a teacher, a speaker, an administrative minister, and then later became the dean of the ministerial school there. The school is called Ernest Holmes Institute, and that was located in Seattle at the CSL. So there at the Seattle CSL, she was once again able to use her knowledge of construction and design, and she expanded the main sanctuary and other parts of the campus. But in 2001, she and Bob moved back to Bellingham. Bob then pursued his career as a marriage and family therapist, and Reverend Colleen became our minister emeritus. And if you're curious to know more about this journey, there's more on the website for CSL Bellingham, and there's a tab called Our Story, so you can find out more about the history. So it's fun to do. So now we're going to begin to leap into the sacred part of our Christmas Eve service. I want to just acknowledge that while Christmas is usually a time of joy and excitement, it can also be a reminder of the people who we have lost. And that there can be also a time of grief and loss, that maybe the son or the daughter or the friend or the spouse or the parent of a loved one is not with us. And that can feel a sense of emptiness or a sense of grief. So I simply honor all feelings this morning about this holiday season. We know together that life does contain challenges, and there are sometimes loss. But as we're reminded in the stories of the cycle of life, that every ending eventually will bring a new beginning, right? So even the darkest day, even the longest winter will eventually end. And you will be brought back up into the spring, into the light, into the new beginning. And so I think that's one of the messages of the story of Christmas, that even in times of challenge, life will bring us a surprise. And maybe it'll be a savior that we never expected. Maybe it looks like it's a pretty little savior. Maybe it might look like even like a baby that comes as a new beginning. And with the message of that death isn't the end, that we are loved. And in turn, we learn to love each other. And we carry that message of love forward. And now, the Christmas story. This is the story as told by Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men."
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Thank you so much. The band, they are so wonderful. And we have Kathy, Shirlene, Kathy M., Eric, and Robin. So thank you. And there's much more from them. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, good morning. I am the minister of Christmas Eve's past. And I'm not a ghost yet. But I'll be here. So I love this Christmas story. Luke was a real scholar, and he researched this story the very best he could. And so that's the one that we traditionally, even though we're a very interfaith center, we believe that there is a golden thread of truth in all religion, philosophy, and science. And it's those disciplines that we strive to weave together so that You know that as I was taught in the church of my childhood, three times a week at least, was, and there was a little song my sister and I used to sing as a duet together at the evening service. It went, "One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. Are you on the inside? Because I'm on the inside. On which side are you?" And in this sinner, we quote the Tao, the Upanishads. We have our own Rabbi Kalish here. And so when I say a few things about this next verse, which it's not after years of studying the Torah or anything else like that. I was kind of grew up on the New Testament. But I'm going to read something else so you can check it out with Rabbi Kalish to see if I got it somewhere close to right. But I love this particular verse because it goes way back to the prophet Isaiah. And I want to read you Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verses 2 and 6. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them thou light shined." And now I'm going to verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name," or her name, "shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That last part is my very favorite. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the symbology, because looking to me, all holy books are kind of a roadmap. They're not about something else. If they're worth reading and they are containing that golden thread of truth that runs through all religions, all faith beliefs, and fits so beautifully with science and philosophy, then I want to know what it means to me and to you, how to apply this wisdom of the ages. And in this particular story, this time of year, there is much wisdom. So I'm going to start with verse 9. "Unto us a child is born," a small child. My first child is 57 years old. But when he was born, he came a month early. You won't believe this, but he's short. And because he was short, he weighed 5.5 pounds. Robust 5.5 pounds. And so I got to take him right home. And I thought the most wonderful child in the world had been born. I was in love. I felt rapture. I can never remember loving anyone. I don't think I ever fell in love before my first son was born. And then I met Bob eventually and fell in love again quite a while later. But that little infant, he needed my protection, his father's protection. I held him and changed him and loved him. He slept right through the night right away. I don't know why. It was very upsetting. I had to go in and go, you know, we were so young. I was 22. And I'd never been around a little baby before, except me, and I don't remember that. And so I would go into his room, and I'd hold a mirror over his little nose. Oh, but I love that little baby, and I kept him so carefully, and we lived in a lovely, lovely apartment complex in Livermore, California, where his father was a high school history teacher. And I didn't work during that very small segment of my life. And I taught him to swim when he was just tiny, a baby. You can let him go. And they swim right to the top. He was, by summer, he was probably 6 months old. But, you know, I nurtured that little baby. So unto us, when the son is born, and I think that's a Christmas story, the son is available to be born inside all of us because it's already there. It's already there. And so then everyone who had read Isaiah thought that when the baby came, when the, all of a sudden I can't remember what we, the Messiah, of course. Did you guys ever sing the Messiah? Well, you'll see, recognize both Luke and Isaiah in the Messiah, the exact words, all the words of the Messiah come right out of the Bible. And so there was an expectation that this would be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Surely this little baby would be born in a castle or a mansion at least. But no, the Christ child was born in a smelly manger. Ever been in a barn that has cows and goats, quite a few feral cats without litter boxes? You know, it's a smelly place. And I remember on Memorial Day weekend of 1983, when two people out of the blue told me about the center, what became the Center of Spiritual Living in Fresno, California. I went that first Sunday, and my life was smelly. I had succeeded beyond my wildest dreams in my business. I had a career designing and building energy-efficient houses, passive solar houses that I loved, but my personal life was miserable. Absolutely smelly. And I walked in that center, and I cannot tell you what the minister said. He spoke in a stream of consciousness. But what I knew is this is what I believed all along. I knew this in my heart of hearts. I knew it was the truth, and I knew I had come home at last. Because spirituality was always very, very important to me. I was raised in it. I cut my teeth on it. And it bothered me. If God is love, what about this? It just wasn't congruent. I was this thoughty little child. That's a problem sometimes. Other people were playing. I was laying in the little crawl space looking at the clouds, letting my mind wander at the wonders and the peace around me, thinking about Sunday school. And if God was love, what's this hell heaven thing? Why are the missionaries going to Africa? The one question I was had enough nerve to ask is, if people haven't ever heard this message, are they still going to a literal hell? And the answer I got was, can you guess? Yes. Some of you also have PDCS, post-traumatic church syndrome. And some of you may not, because there's a perfect path for everybody. I believe that people find that light inside that sun, the Christ is born inside everyone in every faith belief that there is. But that was not mine. And for some of you are relatives, I'm sorry, and you were dragged here this morning because you're visiting your family that goes to this crazy church. Oh, but we don't call it that anymore. Excuse me. This center, when we started, it was called church. And we sent out a brochure to random people that said, are you looking for an alternative to traditional church? And fortunately, there are quite a few people who did. So much for that. So you nurture that little child when that little Christ spark is born. I always think of that light like we have that little Christ light inside of us. All it's just part of our DNA. It's not only inside of us, it's inside of the trees we see, it's the rocks we see, it's everything in the physical world and the invisible world. It's filled with this light, but we don't recognize it. We don't recognize it. And I think it's like for me, right here in my solar plexus, this is definitely where it abides. For you, it might be your heart, might be your head. But right here, I can feel it. And it's like my gas water heater. It's like this little spark, but something over the years, or maybe in a sudden moment sometimes, it bursts into full flame. And you feel that wonderful light inside your mind and your heart. And in that minute, in that second, you're changed. Right for that second, you're changed. And then, as the poet said, the gross flesh binds us in row upon row. And we sort of sink back into the phenomenal world where we forget about the light sometimes. But, you know, once that little Christ is born, that little light gets stronger and stronger over the years. Right now, my life is wonderful. And I'm about to have my 40th anniversary with this fabulous, gorgeous creature standing in the back. And let me tell you, without him, there's no CSL and there's no me coming to CSL. And sometimes people don't know that because he hates to speak. Well, he'll speak to you. But to get up here and speak, it's just not his gig. And we all have our gig, right? Right. And he has the gift of being the most wonderful husband that ever lived in the face of the earth. So I'm sorry. I have him. And if you don't have a Bob, I hope you get one. And if you aren't a Bob, I hope you become one. Go on. And so I love this next part. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And what that means is the government of your life, your affairs, what you do, you can turn that over to not some guy in the sky and not Santa Claus. Now, what do these two have in common? I used to get them really mixed up because they're both watching me every moment and making... and making a list. That really produces anxiety in a child. If my mother wasn't saying, what will they think? Santa and God were right there. Anyway, so you kind of let go of things and have this faith and this trust. And I have so much to say, and I better hurry. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful, miraculous, marvelous. Einstein said, you can view the world where nothing is a miracle or that everything is a miracle. Einstein, that brilliant, brilliant person. And I view so many miracles. When Deborah talked about how we got here, that was a miracle. And we came here the summer before we came up the next February. I just heard that I have 0 minutes. However, Philip told me that I could actually speak for 24 hours and the live spring, hello out there, the live spring would still go on. We don't have a limit, isn't it? So I hope you don't have to buy any more presents or hurry home and wrap them. And we are recording the game with the Seahawks, and I hope you did too. And if by any chance before we leave today you hear the score, don't you say a word. So the government shall be on his name will be called Miracle, Miracle, and miracles will start happening in your life. Counselor, somebody, something inside, the Holy Spirit inside that's part of you. You don't have to ask it to come into your house, your heart. You'll never lose it. You were born with that inner light. And intuition is a fabulous thing. I trust my intuition. I trust my gut because I know my gut is that miraculous child, that higher self in me as me, is me. It's what I am. It's what I am. And I have a rock, you know, I'm pretty agnostic about a lot of things, believe it or not, but I have a rock solid consciousness about that there is this wonderful transcendent part of me that when I allow myself to move into that part, the gift has already been given. The answer to the question is already answered. That information of the choices I should make, the people I should call on the phone. Some days I just have a little list of people I haven't heard from in ages, and I just start calling them. And I'm so surprised how sometimes people say, you called just at the right time. And when I speak, what I know is, even though I never get through my notes, that whatever... somebody cried themselves to sleep last night. Whatever needs to be heard is said, because it doesn't come from my intellectual self. It comes from the heart and from the all-knowing. Together we have an energy of love, and love wins. Love always wins. And so it goes on. The mighty Father, the mighty God, and all these qualities of this inner light when we allow it to come in. And I have a really, I shouldn't even say that. I'm Irish, what can I say? I've never been to Ireland. I've been to Scotland because I married a Scot. But I've never been to Ireland, but I know that my DNA has kissed the Blarney Stone. to make a short story long... I want to go back to verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and upon them has a light shine. And so you know now that I was an anxious little child who had theological problems even at age 8, 9, 10. I think I was about 10, and we were up in Big Bear, California. And when you got out of L.A. and into Big Bear, the skies were clear, and it was the nights were full of stars, and we were in a cabin year after year that was kind of on the top of a hill. And when you look down, you look downhill. We were kind of at the peak of that. Maybe it was the San Gabriel Mountains, this is part of the Sierra Nevadas. And so we loved to go on night walks. It was two families of us that always went up there. And so this one particular night, I was about 10 years old, and I went out to, we all went out on a walk, and we all sat down. Now, I remember it as kind of sitting on a cliff sort of thing. I know my mother wouldn't have let me do that. So it must have just been a hillside. And I looked out at the stars, and as far as you could see up and as far as I could see down, it was all stars, millions and billions of stars, starry night. It was clear and beautiful. And all of a sudden, I felt this swelling in my chest. And I felt myself go out into those stars and merge with the allness of that light. And I felt this great peace washed over me. It was the Prince of Peace, the peace that passes understanding. And all those questions I had didn't matter at all. It didn't matter anymore because I knew there was a bigger truth. And it says in that verse, the people have seen a great light. It doesn't say all men. It says all people. It doesn't say just the Jewish people. It doesn't say just the Baptist. It doesn't say just the Catholics. It just the Muslims. You name it. It says all people. And that's the truth. Even the politicians that you don't like. Sorry. But that's the truth. And so, with that, I'm getting this from my husband. Sometimes a zero isn't enough. Let us pray. And so I pray and know, and you can know with me if you want to, that there is only one life. That life is God. That life is me, in me, as me. Every breath I take, I am made of stardust. And everything that is on this beautiful planet. And oh, we are so blessed to live in Bellingham, Washington, or on Lemmy Island, or wherever you live in the Pacific Northwest. It is heaven on earth, and heaven is on earth. And every day you can experience heaven or hell. The choice is yours. Stuff happens. There's a randomness. The vicissitudes of life drag us all down sometimes. But I know that all is well with my soul and your soul. And there is such a huge truth and light and love and kindness. Thank you, thank you. With gratitude, we release this and say together, and so it is.